Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor. She is joined by her co-host Jessica and producer Mike Clark. They will inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better.
Hi, it's Jessica here with Mike and Dr. Jenny Kretzinger. Mike and I are going to turn the tables on Jenny today, and we're going to interview her. So,
God help us.
Yeah, this should be good.
Anything you've ever wanted to know about Dr. Jenny Kretzinger, you're going to find out today.
Anything?
Anything.
Okay. Wow. What should we ask her first?
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Okay. I think
we should start out, for anybody that maybe doesn't know who you are, give us some background.
That's a pretty broad question.
So who are you today?
Okay. Where did you come from?
Where did I come from? Okay. I actually came from a fairly small town called Bettendorf in Iowa. I was raised in a very, middle class household, very loving. I have three brothers and sisters. My father actually just retired. He was a federal meat inspector, which there's a lot of story behind that one of how that has shaped my choices. And my mother stayed at home. She ran a daycare in our home. So even though I was the youngest by far, I oftentimes would go home from school and I would help to babysit the children.
No wonder you're so well adjusted, Jenny.
I know.
Sounds like such a normal childhood.
I had an amazingly normal, healthy childhood.
That's fantastic.
I was raised in a really great environment with a lot of love, a lot of good choices.
Siblings?
Not too much drama at all. I have a sister who is 8 years older. You've met. She's a chiropractor with her husband, who's a chiropractor here in Manchester, New Hampshire.
I love them.
Yeah, they're incredible. Mm-hmm. And then I have two brothers. They're 6 and 7 years older than me, and they're both in Iowa. They each have 4 kids, and we get to see them now and then. And then my parents still live in the same home in Bettendorf. And, I followed my sister out here, basically. She decided to move to New England after chiropractic college, and I had visited her 15 times in 8 years, and I really started to see this area as home. So I moved to Bedford initially, and I worked in my sister's office for about a year. And at the time, my boyfriend, David, who I eventually married, he had come out as well. We worked for a little while up in Guilford, New Hampshire. And then we decided to open our own practice, and we chose Amherst. Good choice. We opened in February of 97, Spinal Corrective Center. And his father owns Spinal Corrective Center as well in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Does he still run that? Or?
He does.
Wow.
He's been in practice for over 40 years.
So it's a franchise.
Well, not so much in the sense that we do everything the exact same, but
right,
same name and same philosophical
concepts.
That's
cool.
Yeah.
That's
David
awesome.
Was raised with chiropractic from birth, and his philosophy and lifestyle is just rock solid from the way he was raised.
Right.
So how old were you when you first got adjusted?
I was 14. My sister was in chiropractic college. I had had an injury. I had come home from I had been in a gymnastics workout. I was a competitive gymnast at the time, and I had done a dance team tryout. And somewhere in that tryout, I had hurt my neck. And so my sister comes home from chiropractic college. She was early in school. She hadn't learned to adjust yet. But she saw me lying on the bed crying. I couldn't move my neck. I was upset because I had tryouts the next morning. So she loaded me up in the car, drove me over to Palmer College of Chiropractic Clinics. I got adjusted by a man named Dr. Tom Ring, who changed my life. And as you can imagine, by the next day, I was feeling fine. I went on to make the dance team, and that was a big part of my life. And at the time, I wasn't really educated on chiropractic. My sister was new in school, so I got periodic adjustments, nothing too regular. It wasn't until I met my now husband, David, and got to meet his father that I got really thoroughly examined and started to do some corrective work and really worked on my own spine.
So did you become a chiropractor because of your sister, or was there another reason?
I would say it's because of my sister, but interestingly, I had this concept that, you have to do your own thing. And even though, all my high school test scores showed that I really was pretty gifted in math and science, I really liked to write. So I went to the University of Iowa initially as an English major with the intention to be in their writer's workshop and eventually become a writer. That's what I wanted to do.
Speaking of that, you actually have a book coming out, don't you?
We're in process. I should have it completely done and to the editor for second draft by the end of this week.
That's way cool.
Wow.
Do you have a title?
Yeah. I do, but I'm not going to share it just yet. We'll unveil that probably within a month on the show, but it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
You know, so I kind of came to this point where I realized I can always write. I can write in any career. I really decided to do something with science. So I really studied. You know, the college will give you this huge book that lists every career and what kind of courses you would have to take and what the lifestyle would be. And I studied it and I just kept coming back to chiropractic. And then it finally hit me like, this is the obvious choice. This is what I should be doing. And so I sent my sister a special letter in the mail officially announcing my choice. And of course, she was thrilled. And that was just it. It was definitely the right thing for me to do. And I've never looked back with any other thought than this was the purpose for me in my life.
Jenny, I've noticed a lot of chiropractors will start to make healthier lifestyle choices after they go to chiropractic school. Did you find that that was the case for you too?
Yes, absolutely. I watched my sister make these choices. You know, I was in high school and then college when she had graduated. But I would say the turning point for me actually was the first nutrition course I took at Palmer College of Chiropractic. It was a pretty basic nutrition course, but the instructor really turned me on to several books. The first book I really read that I connected with was called Food and Healing by Anne Marie Colbin. And it was the first time I'd read about the concept of whole foods and whole food nutrition. And that really started my journey. And it was a process of layering my education. I didn't change my life overnight. I didn't learn everything overnight. But slowly over the years, the more I understood nutrition, the more I understood what our body's requirements were for health, I've just kept adding the layers of choices that really have made me healthy.
That's interesting because most people would say, what does nutrition have to do with chiropractic?
Well, you know, I think this is the major premise of this. What you learn in chiropractic college, the belief system that you live by, is that the body is inherently self-healing. And as chiropractors, we try to help the body heal from the inside out versus outside in. So it's very natural for us to have an interest in other ways that our body will heal and function best from the inside. So nutrition obviously falls right into that, as does exercise and healthy sleep. So you'll find chiropractors way more educated through school, plus on their own, in matters of nutrition, because it's just it falls in line with our philosophy.
I know that now.
So I know some people that know you really want to know this question, but they're afraid to ask.
Ooh.
I'm not.
Have you ever eaten a Twinkie?
Oh, yeah. I loved Twinkies growing up. I would say like in sixth grade, I would probably beg my mom to buy a box of Twinkies.
See, I was a devil dog guy.
Do those have chocolate?
Yes.
Yeah, I never liked chocolate. I was a little bit weird in that way, that chocolate's never been something I've been into. But I do remember, you know, you want to push your finger through the hole and get the white stuff. Oh, yeah, I grew up with a lot of packaged food. I grew up on macaroni and cheese, and I remember Tombstone pizzas, and, you know, you name it. I don't think the chemicals in the food back in the 70s and early 80s were quite as bad as they are now, but I did. My children don't eat that way, but I did grow up that way.
Yeah, you're not a fanatic that way.
We have rules about what we allow in the home.
Yeah.
You know, there is no high fructose corn syrup, hydrogenated oils, artificial colors, artificial flavors allowed in our home.
Well, I think we're all schooled in that a little more now.
That's right.
So. What is in Dr. Jenny Kretzinger's refrigerator?
Oh, okay. Well, I can tell you what's the most common things that we buy.
Sake.
What's probably in there now. Actually, if I drink alcohol, that's one of my favorite things.
I loved it last time I was at your house.
It's made from brown rice.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
It's definitely a cleaner liquor.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, you know, so that will have, to some extent.
So that's all that's in your fridge?
Right.
No, that's all I care about.
Okay, so you'll find rice milk. We just make a choice to not have milk as a general rule. Sometimes I'll buy some organic whole milk
for
baking. Or we belong to a farm where I can get raw milk. But as a general rule, we have rice milk in our home. And you'll find some unsweetened iced tea that I've brewed myself. That's definitely in there. You will find probably like a Stonyfield yogurt, like the little ones for the kids. And there's definitely some unsweetened applesauce in there right now. And then you'll find vegetables. So we get vegetables from the farm. So I know right now we have different types of lettuce, romaine, and spinach. We definitely have carrots. We usually have beets. I always buy cucumbers. We always have avocado. There's some goat cheese.
Eggs?
In there. Definitely eggs. I get organic eggs from the farm.
Love eggs.
You know, I'll buy some organic bacon, all natural bacon. Some, you know, maybe one package a week we'll have.
Now, you mentioned your dad was an inspector for the FDA, is it?
A USDA.
USDA. So what kind of meat do you have in your house, or do you even eat meat? Well, you just said bacon, so
We will only eat meat if we know where it came from and it's all natural. When I can't get meat at the farm, I will buy, like Stop and Shop has the natural choice. I'll get some of that. But we will not have meat in a restaurant unless we know that it's all natural, which is rare. There's some restaurants. And we'll not have meat at all from a store unless we know that it's all natural.
I barely eat it. I'm not a huge fan.
I would have to say I enjoy meat. We have meat pretty often, and we'll have chicken, we'll have turkey. Other than bacon, we don't really eat pork. We'll have seafood. Like right now, we have some shrimp in there. What else do we have?
I don't know, but I'm getting hungry now.
I am too. That's pretty much it. I mean, there's not many other staples that would be in my fridge other than as many vegetables as I can get.
And you have two children.
We do.
A boy and a girl. How do you raise them in a world today that is so full of television and toxic chemicals? And what do you do to keep them healthy and protect them from those things?
Well, we made some pretty conscious choices about what they're exposed to. Mm-hmm. So, for example, even, who we are friends with, who they are friends with, we, as much as we can, we try to align our belief systems with people they're around a lot. So, they have a babysitter who's been with us for 7 years, mm-hmm. and she has really been educated, and she knows the kind of choices we make, so we know that she'll keep in line with that. We choose to send our children to the local Waldorf school, and that was primarily, many reasons for that, but primarily because their belief systems align more with ours. When they feed the children food, it's all organic, it's from the local farm, it's all natural. They tend to not push medications. The children are outside more. So the type of families who send their kids there are more like us.
Right. I went to Pine Hill, and my mom packed Twinkies in my lunchbox.
And they allowed it? Wow.
Yeah. They didn't know. It was not.
You snuck them?
Yes.
Yeah, they don't allow the children to wear clothing with, say, characters on them, and they ask for, to minimize processed food and no food that has characters on them and
mm-hmm. Interesting.
Processed food.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't fit in very well. It was a gradual process of me fitting in there, but I look back and I really loved what they taught, just being out in nature and learning things about the outdoors and the learning watercoloring and knitting at such a young age. It was a great experience.
Well, and our niece is struggling right now in public school because she, like our children, she eats very healthy, and the children make fun of her for the healthy food that she has. And, she's struggling with wanting to fit in, but wanting to eat healthy. And that's something that our children will have to deal with. For right now, I feel happy that they don't have to deal with that. It's not rare for kids to bring, vegetables in a wax paper bag. that's just what happens at the Waldorf school. And
there are movements to change what the kids eat in school, though. I noticed that, because I work at Hollis and, they're conscious about, the school lunches and what they're giving them now.
Glad that's starting to change.
Yep. I actually just got back from Sauhegan High School this morning. I was teaching a class there, and I played for them a video clip of Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution. We played a clip, and they identified with it. It was good.
Sure, yeah.
Now, Dr. Jennifer, I know you have a huge goal that you're trying to reach in the next 5 years, and I want to talk about that, but let's do that after the break.
Sounds good.
You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. Your host is Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. For more information about Dr. Jennifer or this podcast, check out spinalcorrectivecenter.com. If you would like to schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jennifer, call 603-673-5600 and mention this podcast to receive a special offer. That's 603-673-5600. To find a wellness chiropractor in your area, go to chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now, back to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
And we're back. Now, Dr. Jenny, before the break, you mentioned that you just got here from teaching at Sauhegan High School.
Yes.
You were always go, 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 go. You've got a chiropractic office with your husband. You're a professional speaker. You've got two children.
She's a whirling dervish.
You're everywhere. How do you do it and stay balanced?
Okay, well, I have to say that I've learned over the years that I'm designed to be busy. I am happiest, I am healthiest when I'm busy.
I think you're wired that way.
I am wired that way. Yeah. And, you know, and honestly, not everybody is.
No.
However, you're right, I have to balance it. And for example, today I'm going to be done with most of my busy stuff by the time I pick up the kids from school. And because our son has been away at a school camping trip, I've already decided that when I bring the kids home, our daughter has a little play date, I am going to make a plate of food, and I'm going to go into Max's room with him and sit on the floor, and I'm just going to play Legos with him for an hour. And that's nice. Going to be my downtime.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, I just want to connect with my son. You know, so yeah. I've already kind of put that in my head. And when I know when I'm going to relax, when I know, okay, from 3 to 3:30 hammock time, or, you know, I'm going to make sure I'm in bed at 8 o'clock and reading for an hour or so. When I know that's coming up, it makes it so easy to do the busy stuff. And then I tend to just stay focused.
And I know one of the reasons why you're staying so busy is because you recently shared with me that you have a mission that you're on to reach 5 million people in the next 5 years. Can you tell us more about that?
I can. You know, I think that this happens sometimes with healthcare providers is we realize, particularly as chiropractors, with a very succinct message of how the body can heal. And it's so opposite of the way people are raised. We know that we have a paradigm to share that really changes lives. I mean, you've seen in the office, just it can be life-changing. And the most frustrating aspect is people will say, oh, if I only had known you were here before,
right.
You know, I just didn't know this was here. And chiropractic, the way we practice, particularly in general, people don't know it's here. And then beyond chiropractic, people don't know how to eat. People don't know what type of sleep they need. And where are they going to learn it? You know, unless
from
they...
you.
Well, that's the goal. You know, there's a lot of people out there trying to do what I'm doing. And I really feel like I have a unique message in that I couple healthy living with the concept of this inner intelligence, this innate intelligence of healing. And it's such an easy concept to grasp when it's told in a certain way.
You have such great energy about it, too.
Thank you.
You do.
Well,
you can tell that you actually believe what you're saying.
And I got to the point where, you know, there's a limited capacity of the number of people I can reach from an educational level in our practice. You know, and I'll give workshops and we'll have 50, 60 people come.
Too.
But yeah, I can reach so many more people through traveling. So, I teach at the university down in Georgia and, you know, I'm going to be going to Nebraska and Vancouver within the year. So I have some pretty big speaking gigs. But then with social media, that's when my vision began to expand because I realized just the hits we get from this radio show online.
Yeah, you're getting thousands a month. Yeah.
And the blog that I write, and even just through Facebook, you know, the followers I have on Twitter, I can reach more people. And then with the book coming out, I just know if I put all of these different paths together, I can reach more people. So when I really did the math, I actually had to cross-reference and realize, okay, how many listeners do I have? You know, I feel like right now I'm really affecting somewhere between 2,000 and 5,000 people on a regular basis, which is not that much. And the goal of getting to 5 million, obviously, will have to have syndication with radio, several books, some major speaking gigs, hopefully get clued in with eventually some television stuff.
Right.
It's just you have to put the work in. Yeah, and you have to have a consistent good message. And so that's what I've been learning. I've been manifesting people who can teach me how to do this while I keep working on what can the message really
be. And I've
be.
Noticed a lot of even local schools contacting you to have you speak to the kids, which is so important.
I really finished my speaking tour today. I've been in so many schools. I think I did 5 appearances in the last 2.5 weeks alone. And I love that. I love talking to children. I feel like it's something that I can do that makes such a huge difference.
It's where it starts.
That's right. And you have a website where people can go if they would like to hire you as a speaker, drjennykretzinger.com. It's DRJENNY Kretzinger.com. So if you would want people to know one thing about you, what would it be?
Oh, about me?
Something that maybe you think people just don't know about you.
People always ask me, what's Jenny really like? Of course, I make up an answer.
Because we don't know.
Well, I've always, someone told me once, shortly after I graduated, I heard this in a seminar. It said, when the person you are in your job or your office or on air or on stage, if that person is the same person you are when you're in your home with your family, you know that you really are successful.
Yeah, I think you have to be.
Yeah, really. To live two lives, to be one person here, one person there. I strive to just be who I am. And, you know, and like anybody, I will have a bad mood day, or I might eat something that's not as healthy as I know. I mean, it's not that I have always make the right choices, but I think what I'm learning to do is I'm learning to be in my right mind as much as possible. I'm learning to make the right choice the majority of the time. Mm-hmm. And I also have worked hard to surround myself with really supportive people who are living and thinking and acting in the way I want to be. So I find that it's becoming more and more critical who I surround myself with.
We were just talking about that before the show.
Yeah, and it helps me to be the person I want to be when I'm spending my time and my mind share with people I want to emulate and people I admire. And, you know, that's been something that's you have to work at.
Right.
You know, and I think that makes a big difference for me being the same person all the time.
I know you have a mantra, and I would love it if you shared it with everybody because it's great. It's a great one.
Okay. Every day in every way, I'm getting better, better, and better. Everything is coming to me easily and effortlessly.
And is that something you repeat to yourself every day?
Yes, I shorten it. In my brain, I just say easy and effortless. Easy. If something feels hard, if something physically or emotionally feels hard, I try to remember easy and effortless. And I don't always remember it, and it doesn't always work, but I would say the vast majority of the time, that's what gets me through something that I might have perceived as difficult. You can borrow it.
This has been a lot of fun turning the tables on you today and finding out more about you and interviewing you. I know there's a great place for more inspiration. I know you post your blogs on Facebook. All the radio shows are posted on Facebook and a lot of other inspiration. If you go to spinalcorrectivecenter.com, you'll find more about Dr. Jenny Kretzinger's office too and her mission.
Well, you know, can I just say, Jessica, that, you know, you've been in many ways my... not even my right hand, you're also my left hand, and you're also another set of eyes and another set of ears, and your knowledge and surpasses my knowledge in so many different ways, and you've shared that completely with me, and I just want to appreciate you for that.
Aw, thank you.
Before we wrap this up, Jenny, I have one more question. What's something you can't do?
Can't do? Oh, that's easy. I can't sing.
See, I think you're wrong. I heard you singing earlier.
No.
It sounded pretty good. We're going to have to work on that.
It's not reproducible. It's a crapshoot. It's I cannot sing.
Oh, let's hear it before we wrap it up.
Nope. Right. No. I can't sing.
See, that was pretty good.
No. All right, I'm going to steal your line. Be well, everybody.
You've been listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. For more information, go to spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call Dr. Jennifer at 603-673-5600. That's spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call 603-673-5600.